what's happened? That battery has lost its charge and it's not going to turn the motor over and you're not going anywhere. Some people, the Bible says, you know, we are to keep ourselves edified. That word edify literally means to be charged up like a battery. He said, keep yourself charged up, your battery charged up. So when you hit that key, that's a boom, 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 boom. Then back out over the devil. Or go forward, whichever the case may be. Ephesians 4, you found that? Hallelujah. We're going to start reading about verse 13 there. Notice what he says here. He said, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, then we will no longer be infants. Everybody say infants. Tossed back and forth by the waves blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up. Everybody say grow up. Into him who is ahead, that is Christ. This morning I want to share with you for a while, what's God's purpose for you? God's purpose for you, what? Is becoming like Jesus. We've got to look at ourselves regularly and say, am I becoming more like him? And so we're going to go through this thing and we're going to talk about what does it mean to be a disciple? The measure, he says the measure of the stature of Christ, or what we call Christian. You know what's at the word there, the prefix in front of that, Christian? It is Christ. And it literally means follower of Christ. Turn to Acts chapter 11. I want to show you something here. Acts 11, verse 26. It says, and when he had found him, he brought him, Paul, to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Now I want you to see the connection here. It says they were called Christians first at Antioch, and here at Antioch was a great apostolic and teaching center. Are you listening? It says here, two of the great apostles and teachers, at this time they were teachers, but Paul and Barnabas were there, and it says for a whole year they taught the disciples. They taught them. They discipled them. They taught them the Word of God so that they might, what, grow up. And they grew to such a measure that here at Antioch, they were first referred to as Christians. Man, they grew up into the image of Jesus. They matured as disciples to the point people said, man, we're not just going to call them disciples anymore. We're going to call them Christians because they look so much like Jesus, like Christ, who they're following. Listen. The Word, teaching the Word, creates disciples. And disciples are called Christians. Now, here's the problem we have in the church. We just throw things out any kind of way. And we use the term Christian, disciple, and convert. We use those interchangeably. Come on. But the Bible doesn't. The Bible doesn't. So we're going to look at that today and talk about what does it mean to grow up. See, we got a lot of people who are still infants that call themselves disciples. But they're not. You're saved. You're a convert, but you're an infant. And we're going to look at some of the characteristics of an infant, childhood, and adulthood. We're going to look at some of those and try to discern where are we at and how are we making any progress on this road to becoming Christians. See, this is the problem. The church looks anemic because we just throw out this generic term. Everybody is a Christian, but everybody is not. They may be a convert. They may be saved. They haven't become a Christian unless they are what? A disciple. Christ-like. What makes you Christ-like? Well, I said a prayer. My sins are forgiven. That doesn't make you Christ-like. That makes you sins are forgiven and you're going to heaven. But that don't make you Christ-like. Are you listening to me? Yes, you're born again. I don't want anybody to misunderstand me. Yes, you're born again. And there is the seed of Christ-likeness in you. Are you listening? Just like if you see somebody, they bring in a newborn baby. Okay, that newborn infant, there is in that infant the potential to be, whether it's a male or female, is to be a man or a woman, a full-grown person. But when you look at them, all you see there, yes, you can tell that they're a human being, but at the same time, you understand they haven't reached their full potential yet. They haven't grown up yet. So a convert means a new baby, or as he said in Ephesians, an infant, a new baby. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, because we're going to find out. You know, we got a lot of people. This is one of the big problems in the church is because we're not creating disciples. So we got a lot of converts, and thank God for that. Don't misunderstand me, but they're still babies. That's why you have so much problem in the church. You can't get the church to go forward. You got a bunch of babies. I didn't say you were one. 1 Corinthians 3. Look in verse 1. He said, brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. Indeed, you're still not ready. Paul wrote to them, he said, you're infants. He said, I can't give you, you know, if you take a newborn babe and you try to feed them hamburger or steak or something, I'm telling you what, they're going to choke. Are you listening? They're going to choke. They can't handle it. They can't handle meat. They can't handle anything stronger than a little milk. You know, and here's what milk is. Milk is the basics. Milk is this. God loves you. You're forgiven. You belong to Him. All that's good, but that's milk. Are you listening? That's milk. You know, milk's easy to swallow and easy to digest. Isn't that right? And I tell you, God's going to bless you. Oh, that's milk. What all God's going to do for you. And you think about it. You know, a baby cannot care for itself, can it? A baby Christian can't either. You got so many baby Christians, in the church. And it would be great if they were babies from new births. But many of them are babies from 15 years ago. And they still can't. They can't pray for themselves. They can't receive from God from themselves. The least little thing happens, they get their feelings hurt. They stay home. I'm mad the pastor didn't look at me, he didn't speak to me, he didn't do this. I'm mad, that's it. A baby cannot care for itself. A baby is dependent on others to meet all its needs. Oh, pastor, I'm so needy. 10 years later, I'm so needy. Well, listen, I'm trying to help you here. Listen, why would you want to live that way all your life? You know, if we saw a newborn babe brought in, you know, and Cindy and I, we're always seeing them. We're out shopping and things. And, man, we see those little babies. And, I mean, you're drawn to them, aren't you? I mean, man, they're so cute and they're so sweet and everything. But, you know, what if you brought a child in here 10 years old and they had on a diaper and had on those cute little toddler clothes or whatever, you know, those baby clothes and all. Then what would you think? Something wrong, isn't it? Something wrong. Isn't that true? And the problem is in the church is what? We've just got a lot of babies, too many babies that are older babies. You know, because see, it's like I was talking about the story that my pastor said about that pastor. He pastored the church 1 year 12 times. And see, that's the thing. If we don't grow, we've just been a baby, you know, for 20 years. Every year we haven't grown. We've stayed needy. We got to have somebody. Somebody's got to run after us. Somebody's got to pat us on the hand. Somebody's got, and if they don't, we're going to get mad and we're going to go to another church. Come on. It's baby. That's babyish. A baby is self-centered on what it needs and wants. Oh, boy, if I don't get my needs met, that's it. I'm out of here. I'm going to find me a church where they'll meet my needs, as if the whole church revolved around you. The Bible says He wants us to grow up so that what? So that what? We're not always, you know, having to have the bottle. Let's let those who are really new babies, let's let them have the bottle. Let's let them have the attention. Let's let them have the ongoing care that a baby needs. Thank you for your enthusiasm. A baby has no resources of itself to draw upon. And see, so many Christians, they've been saved 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. And I'm going to tell you what. They are a drain on the church. Oh boy, I've gone to meddling now, haven't I? Listen, we have to say in the church as a general rule, in the church, you know what we've done? We've enabled that. We've enabled them to stay babies. Oh, we better run after them. You ever been in a store where a toddler just pitched a hissy fit? You know what I mean by that? I mean just a screaming meme. Just fall down on the ground. I mean kicking them legs, hollering and screaming and everything. What was your first inclination? Besides doing something yourself. Get away from that as quick as I can. Isn't that right? If they're not going to let me straighten it out, then let me. Isn't that right? And you know, that's the problem we have too much in the church. Yeah, people, you know, they don't get their way. They don't like something just right. What do they do? They just fall down and start kicking and screaming and hollering. Oh, I don't like it. Everything's wrong. Come on. People, you know, I have people tell me, well, we just don't like the way you do things. But you big baby, grow up. What's it got to do with it? I've been to a lot of churches. I guarantee you, you go to any church, you stay there long enough, you're going to see something you don't agree with. You know? How many of you like everything on your job? I mean, it's just absolutely ideal. Well, what are you still doing there? That's called being an adult. Amen. Isn't it funny? We'll do that with our job, but we won't do that with the church. And the church is eternal, and the job is temporary. Well, they didn't do this. They didn't, you know, they didn't come see me 49 times this week. Well, you big baby, grow up some. Isn't that true? So here's the thing. We need to look at ourselves and say, hey, do I see some of these baby characteristics in me? If I do, you know what? I need to grow up. How am I going to grow? Turn over to 1 Peter there, 2:2. Here's exactly how you're going to grow. Because I'm going to help you out. I'm not just going to analyze it. We're going to look at it. 1 Peter 2:2. He said, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Now see, a convert has tasted that the Lord is good. But he says you need to desire the sincere milk of the Word. The Word. See, some people, the only word they get is a few minutes on Sunday. And then that's not every Sunday because they're not here every Sunday. They're here twice a month. Never see them on Wednesday night when we're really teaching the Word and trying to disciple. And they wonder why they can't grow. They wonder why they have to pray and cover the same ground over and over and over again. They wonder why they can't seem to get breakthrough in their lives. I want to tell you why. You're not craving the sincere milk of the Word. You're eating something else that's satisfying you, your old flesh, and it is killing your spiritual hunger. When I was growing up, you know, it was old school. Mom would tell you, now don't you eat nothing before supper and spoil your appetite. You know, some people are snacking on them Snickers. And you need some spinach. Isn't that right? I'm talking about some spiritual spinach. You need the Word of God. You can't grow. And if you're not growing, then you need to be honest with yourself and say, why am I not growing? Well, it's the pastor's fault. It's the elder's fault. It's Grace's fault. If they did this program or that program. No, what did he say? He said, if you will what? Like newborn babe, desire, crave the pure spiritual milk of the Word, you will grow. If you're not growing, you're not feeding yourself. Or you're not presenting yourself to be fed on a consistent basis. I'd like some people, if they would just switch things around for a month. Feed their spirit the way they've been feeding their body. Feed their body the way they've been feeding their spirit. They might not have strength to get in the car or come to church. Then the next stage of growth has to do with childhood. Childhood. We're talking about growing up. We're talking about becoming disciples. What is the purpose of the church? Oh, we want to just have we just want to have something for everybody. Where does that say that in the Bible? oh, we're just going to have the biggest church in the world. Where does it say that in the Bible? Oh, we're just going to have a program for everybody. Where does it say that in the Bible? He said, didn't Jesus say this? He said in the Great Commission, not the Great Suggestion. He said this. He said, go into all the world and make what? Disciples. Make what? Disciples. Yet in the church, we've majored on everything but that. Thank you for your enthusiasm. I said, Pastor, I didn't come for this morning. I came to be blessed. I'm trying to help you. I want you to grow up. See, I'm not going to keep patting you. You bless your little heart. Now, if you're a real baby, we'll do that for a while. But we're going to help you grow up. God didn't call me to help you feel better. He said, make disciples. Isn't that right? To feed you the word. So I want to encourage you. Let's don't stay. How are we going to make advance as a church, as a local church here at Grace, if we don't grow? I'm not talking about growing in numbers yet. First, we got to grow ourselves. You know, adults are able to get along. Adults are mature. Adults can forgive. Adults can overlook. Adults can work together. Sometimes children can't. Exactly. That's exactly right. Take my ball and go home. In the childhood stage, children are growing, and what are they doing? They are learning responsibility. They ought to be. If you've got children, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 up in there, they ought to be learning. One of the things they ought to be learning is responsibility at home. Amen? They ought to have chores. They ought to have things. They got to learn responsibility. Because one of these days, they're not going to always be with mom and papa. And they're going to get out there. And I'm going to tell you, if they don't know responsibility, they're never going to make it. Because the boss ain't going to be like mama. And they're going to be in for a rude awakening. The boss is going to expect something. Their boss they're working for. That's what I meant. It wasn't any recovery. That's what I meant. I said, they're not working. You know, mama's not going to be there to say, okay, bless your heart. That's okay. No, the boss, I mean, you know, you got to get in the real world. The same thing's true with Christians. We come into an environment like this. Oh, this is great. It ought to be. We ought to feel as safe here as we've ever felt. We ought to feel as good about ourselves here as we've ever felt all week. All of that's true. But here's the thing. You can't be in a church service all week. You got to go out there. And that means if you don't grow up, you're not going to make it. You know? You're going to get beat up by the devil. You're going to get, you know, he's going to stop God's plan and purpose in your life. So, and the childhood stage, see, some growth, you know, at a childhood stage now, they should be able to eat something a little bit stronger than milk. Come on. Now, I always tell people this, milk is easy to swallow, easy to digest. And the milk is all the blessings. I mean, how hard is it to receive the fact, and I tell you about what all God's going to do for you, how he's going to work miracles, how he's going to heal and save and bless and deliver and all that. I mean, how hard is that to receive? Because it's all what he's doing. It's all what he's doing. That's like, you know, living at home with mama and daddy. They're paying the bills. They're keeping the fridge stocked. They're doing all that. How hard is that? Hallelujah. Oh, don't tell me I got to leave. Yes, you got to go. Listen, children, but see, here's the thing. Children can be easily swayed because they're still forming their belief system. Come on. See, children can be easily swayed. Oh, well, I thought I believed that. Well, and the least little bit, somebody else, something can come along. You know, I see this all the time in Christians. Life comes along and smacks you. How many of you know life can do that? And see, because if you're children, see, then you're easily swayed. Well, I thought God wanted to bless me. I thought the Bible said that God wanted to deliver me and heal me and help me. I thought God said he was for me, but I don't know. I'm not sure. See, we're still in that childhood state. You know, children are unreliable. You know, sometimes they perform, sometimes Some of y'all hadn't had any children. They're up and down, aren't they? It's just, hey, and again, we're not knocking them. It's just that that's the stage of development. That's where they are. I mean, you know, when they put their mind to it, they can do it great. The problem is getting them to put their mind to it on a regular basis. Isn't that right? I remember Brother Copeland talking about when his kids were teenagers at home, and he getting on to his daughter Kelly and said, you know, you're going to have to clean up that room. You know, because, you know, if you had any teenagers, you know what it's like sometimes. You can't hardly find the floor. Not at your house, but. But, you know, he said, now you're going to have to straighten and clean all that up. And she said, well, that's not my mind. So he had to make it her mind. He had to persuade her. Isn't that right? So they don't always follow through on things. Okay? You can't always depend on them. And see, that's the problem in the church. You wonder, why can't we advance? Well, if we got babies and children, it's no wonder we can't advance. You know, people come if they want to. They pray if they want to. They show up if they want to. If they don't want to, they don't have to. That's true. But that's not an adult attitude. That's not an adult commitment. That's a child. Well, I didn't feel like it, so I didn't do it. If I feel like it, I'll obey God. But if I don't, if it's not convenient, if it feels better to do something else, I'll do that. Okay? So we got to learn and grow up because what? God's called us to be disciples. Disciples. He didn't call us to be eternal babies. He didn't cause us to stay in the toddler or the adolescent stage. He said, if you eat the word, if you start feeding on the word of God, feeding your faith and obeying God's word, then he said, what's going to happen is there's going to come a transformation. You're going to begin to grow up. You're going to begin to grow up. And you know what? We need some folks in the church here and in general in the church to grow up, don't we? Some people get their feelings hurt so easily. Lord of mercy. Anybody in here besides me ever had your feelings hurt? Yes. I hate to tell you this, but I got news for you. It's going to happen again. Yes. But here's the thing. We don't, you know, like Dwayne said, we're not going to take our ball and go home. That's not an adult attitude. We got to grow up. In Galatians chapter 4, Paul wrote to them, you know, the Galatians had a mighty struggle with this. Because they were constantly living according to their flesh. And you know, that's one of the signs of a baby and childhood stage is that their flesh rules them more than the spirit. How many of you think the Holy Spirit will tell you, don't go to church? Don't read your Bible? Don't pray? Is the Holy Spirit going to tell you that? Absolutely not, because that's contrary to the Bible. You hear a voice telling you to do something that's contrary to the Word, you tell it, get behind me, Satan. Because the Word and the Spirit agree. Amen? Amen. So what's that telling you? I think I'll just take off today. Come on, fess up. What's that telling you that? It's your flesh. Everybody say flesh. I see this is going over well. Listen, I want to help you. You know, I can enable you and just, you know, and always, you know, and I endeavor to balance it out, but I can't just always tell you how wonderful you are and all that. Sometimes I got to say, hey, it's time to grow up. It's just like at my house. I love my kids. I praise them and all, but there's sometimes I have to say, hey, you're going to have to get on a stick. This ain't getting it. Because if I don't, it's not just about me. I know if I don't, then they're going to go into life handicapped. There's too many handicapped, spiritually handicapped Christians, and we're teaching them a message of overcoming in faith, but they're still babies. They can't handle the keys to the car yet. I can throw them over in there in the crib. We can all pretend like they're going to get to drive, but they're not in a place where they can drive. They're not in a place where they can have victory until we grow up. Galatians 4:19. Paul's writing, he said this. He said, my dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. Now, he called them children, so we know they were born again. But he also said, I'm continuing to travail or pray, intercede and pray for you, until what? Until Christ is formed in you, or we could say this, until you grow up and become what? Truly a disciple. You grow up and become a Christian. A Christian. And listen, we're going to find out it's a process, not an event. Are you listening to me? Discipleship is a process and not an event. Church service on Sunday is an event, not a process. And so if you think you're going to be discipled because you just come on Sunday and that's all you do, I got news for you. It won't happen, because church service on Sunday is an event, not a process. Discipleship is a process, not an event. I'm trying to, brother. So he says, you got to grow up. Why do we meet on Wednesdays? Well, that's what the church always does. Not. No, what are we trying to do? We want to teach you on those nights. Why do we have Fresh Start class? We're going to have other classes. We're going to make them available. But here's the thing. You're going to have to do something about deciding whether or not you want to grow up. How many of you feel like you don't need to grow anymore? Let me see your hand. Well, I don't see any hands. So here's the thing. We're going to have to do more than what? Just come to church on Sunday. You're going to have to get into the Bible for yourself. You're going to have to get into your prayer closet for yourself. You're going to have to avail yourself of Wednesday night or classes or some of the small groups and the things that we got going on. Why? Because of what? If our purpose is to disciple you. We're not trying to wear you out. Hey, if it was up. Listen, I know how to disciple myself. Man, I could just come on Sunday and celebrate and have a great time and watch God do His thing. And then the rest of the week, man, I'm going to take care of myself. I've learned to do that over here. I still need to grow too, but I'm working on it. Every day. You know why? It's a process, not an event. And we're way too event-oriented in the church. We had a Sunday meeting. We had a special meeting. We had this meeting. Nothing wrong with that, but here's the thing. Discipleship is a process. Amen. And we hop from event to event to event, and yet we're still just as mean at home. Yes. Something don't go right in the church, we're mad and we'll stay home for a month or go to another one. Oh, you're so spiritual. Turn to 1 John chapter 2. How many give me just a little bit longer here? Don't worry. We're gonna make a little bit of a surgical incision here, but we're going to sew you up. Don't worry. It's going to be all right. 1 John chapter 2. Well, let's just back up verse 12. He says, I write to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven. Notice, what do children need to hear all the time? I love you. I love you. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. They need what? Reassurance. 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 You're looking funny. 1 John 2? Well, that's where I'm reading. 1 John 2. What do children always have to? They have to have what? And rightly so, but what do they got to have? Reassurance. Mom and Dad love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. It's okay. I love you. Everything. I love you. You're forgiven. You're forgiven. What have we majored on in the church? We've kept people children. Because all we major on is forgiven, 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 forgiven. Well, that's good. But at some point in time, you ought to have learned that lesson. We ought to move up. He said, dear children, your sins have been forgiven on account of His name. Now notice, He said, I write to you fathers. Oh, boy. Fathers is another thing. Because you have known Him. Fathers know Him. Adults know Him. Adults know some things. They are confident. They are assured in some things. You know, I don't have to have you call me up every week and remind me to pay my bills. I don't have to have you call me up and tell me don't forget to love your wife this week. I don't need it. Well, I've grown up to that point. It's who I am. I've discipled myself in that area. Same thing with church, you know, or with the spiritual things I'm talking about in the church, spiritual things. We ought to grow up to the point to where, you know, we've got to constantly be reminded, God loves you. Bless your heart. God loves you. How long have you been a Christian? 25 years. Now, don't get some. See, some of y'all, I can tell you, you're getting all uptight. Oh, Pastor talking about we shouldn't tell one another. I didn't say that. But you ought to be assured enough in that so that if something happens or somebody says something, it doesn't turn over your little red wagon. That you're okay. I'm self-assured in that. He said, I write to you, fathers, because you've known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men. Boy, we got any young men? Because what? You have overcome. Men overcome. I'm talking about in Christ. Men overcome. If you're not overcoming, if you're not able to overcome, you haven't gone to, pardon me, gotten to manhood stage. You're still a child or a babe. You know, some people, they've been dealing with the same thing in their life for umpteen years. I'm talking about Christians. Bless God, if I was driving from here to Miami in 20 years, I hadn't got there, I might get a clue. Maybe I'm not on the right road. Isn't that right? I might not be on the right road. And yet, it's amazing that they will do the same thing over and over. What are they? You know, there's no growth there. And if somebody like me won't have the audacity enough to tell you the truth in love, rather than just keep patting your hand, you never will overcome. And we'll pray and pray for you and pray for you. And you'll go to Joyce Myers will pray for you. And Kim Copeland will pray for you. And everybody you can think of, your favorite teacher, will pray for you. And you still got the same mess. Because that's not the way you overcome it. You have to grow up and become a disciple. Amen. He said, I write to you, dear children, because you have known the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you've known him from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God lives in you and you have overcome the evil one. We've got to have somebody in the church that fits this description. Amen. If we're all babies, who is going to wage the war? If we're all children, who's going to overcome the evil one? Who's going to advance the kingdom? Listen, adults, the disciples, they're self-reliant under God. In other words, they know God. I don't have to, you know, you don't have to run around prop me up. Hello? That doesn't mean that I don't need you or anything like that, but you understand what I'm talking about. You don't have to run around prop me up. Make sure, you know, I don't backslide between Sundays. They're dependable. Adults are dependable. We can depend on you. You can depend on you. You know, you sign up, you say, I'm going to be involved in an area of ministry. Bless God, we can depend on you. You're going to be there. I'm telling you what. You come here and I don't show up, you can bet your bottom dollar something's wrong. Because I'm going to be here, man. I'm going to be here. I'm going to pray. I'm going to be in the Word. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to be faithful. You know why? Because I'm an adult. They have a mature understanding of God, His kingdom, and His purposes. See, remember we said a baby, it's all about them. And that's what, as church has become so much of a self-centered organism in America. Come on. Everything's geared for the baby. Disney World. We got to razzle dazzle you. We got to entertain you. We got to keep you, you know, the least thing's not right. Oh, the building was a little hot. I ain't going back there. They got great air conditioning over there. What's air conditioning got to do with it? Are you telling me if something happened and we had to meet out in a field? I mean, every church had to meet in the field under the elements. That's it for you. Do you know there's a lot of places in the world that's where the church meets? And they don't go whining, oh, God, you didn't give us a building with air conditioning. You gave them Americans one. We didn't get one. Come on. We got to grow up, don't we? Amen. We have a mature understanding. It's not just about me. It's the kingdom is not just about meeting all my needs. Boy, I can't tell you. I've heard Christians so many times, well, I ain't going back there because I ain't meeting my needs. You big baby. Maybe you need to get in the Word. get something in you and begin to understand that the Bible didn't say, "And my pastor shall meet all of your needs according to his riches." Where does it say that in the Bible? And it say, what does it say? "And my God shall supply all your need." Isn't that right? According to his riches. We got to grow up. Adults respect authority and know how to use it. We're talking about fathers. We got to grow up. We respect authority and we understand how to use it. In other words, we can be under authority. We know how to exercise authority. And if we're going to advance the kingdom, we've got to understand those things. You know, you talk to a child, they don't know how to handle authority. You can't give them too much authority. You know, they're still just learning how to, you know, how to respond to authority. It's awful quiet in here. They're able to teach others the truths of God. And they can eat meat of the word. Just write this down for the second time. Hebrews 5, 12 through 14. The writer here in Hebrews, he said, "I've got to feed you with milk rather than meat because you can't bear it." He said, "Even though enough time has passed, you ought to have grown to the place where you could eat some meat." If you read it over there, you'll read that in Hebrews 5. He said, "But you've become such as what? I've got to teach you again the basic principles of the gospel." What if civilization was like the church? You know? Ever how many tens of thousands of years ago, ever how long it was ago, somebody discovered the wheel. And so, you know, that person died out. So the next generation, they had to struggle and discover the wheel again. And then they died out. And so the next generation had to wait and discover the wheel again. And discover the wheel again. And where would we get? But in the church, what is the thing? We want to perpetuate babyhood. We want to do things that's going to keep people that way. That's what he's saying. He's saying, "I can't teach you the deeper things of God. We can't move forward in the plan and purpose of God because every time I see you, I've got to go back and teach you again A, B, C." Some point we have to grow up in the church. And we have to understand that the pastor will help, but it is not my responsibility alone for you becoming a disciple. You have to do something. Isn't that true? You have to do something. You have to get in the Word. You have to begin to be a disciple. You've got to make up your mind. Hey, you know what? I want to grow up. Amen? And I want to remind you, discipleship is a process. Okay? Let me read you two quick scriptures, and then we're going to let you go. Matthew chapter 10. Turn over there real quickly. We're going to let you go in just a minute. How many of you know that God will do only as much as you let him? Isn't that true? How many of you know that that's a principle? God will only do as much as you allow him to. Isn't that true? Well, then why, if we understand that was true, then why would you think a mere man called a pastor could do more? I mean, God can't make you become a disciple, but I can. Something wrong somewhere. I will help you. I will encourage you. We will provide the structure for you, the classes for you, the word for you. But I can't make you. That's your part. That's your part. Matthew 10, verse 25. I'll read it real quickly. Yep. "It's enough for the student or the disciple to be like his teacher and the servant like his master." So if we're going to become disciples, then what we're going to begin is what? Become like him. Amen? And we need to be honest. If we're not becoming like him, then what? We're not in the discipleship process. Unless, of course, you're a new believer. But I'm talking about if you've known the Lord 3 years, 5 years, 8 years, 10 years, listen. We ought to see some growth there. There ought to be some growth. We ought to be becoming mature. We ought to start taking on some adulthood characteristics spiritually and emotionally. We should be stable. We should be pillars in the church. We should be there ready to go, good to go. I can handle it. Pastor, you don't have to do that. I can do that. Hello? You don't have to pray for me all the time. Pray for the new babies. I got it. Come on. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Real quickly, one more scripture, and then we're going to pray. Matthew 28, 18. Jesus came to them, all authorities in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and build large churches with many programs, lots of excitement. You didn't read that way in your Bible? Oh, I missed it. Let me back up again, try again. Therefore, go and make a lot of converts. Babies. No, what does your word say? Disciples. 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 And Jesus said a disciple, what? Is someone who becomes like his master. And that's Jesus. Amen? And I need from time to time, you can stand to your feet. From time to time, I need to examine myself and say, wait a minute. Am I becoming more like him? Or am I basically stuck? You ever been in an airplane and you thought you were going to land? But they come over, the captain comes on and says, hey, they got us in a holding pattern out here. And man, I'm telling you. You know, when they circle around, if you're near a window, you can look out the window and there's the airport. I just need to get there. There it is again. Circle back around. You know, and a lot of us in our Christian walk, that's the way it is. We hear it preached about who Jesus is. We see it. We see the picture, but we don't seem to be making progress toward it. But here's the thing. Disciple implies discipline. And nobody can discipline you but yourself. To get in the Word. To get in prayer. To avail yourself of the opportunities to continue in the discipleship process. You know, on Wednesday night, we're teaching the Word line upon line. For those of you that are new Christians, we've got a class designed especially for you to help you lay some foundations called Fresh Start on Wednesday night. You know what? You need to be here for that. Not because we're not trying to, you know, oh, you pastor just wants this or that. No, I want it for you. It's not for me. I can stay at home. I'm a disciple myself. Man, I'm telling you. But we're doing it for you. We want you to grow. And you know what? Until you grow, the church won't grow. Just won't do it. Next time you go into a business or a factory, see how many babies are in charge. See how many are running the machinery. You better hope not, isn't that right? But yet here in the church, many times, that's what we are. We have few adults and they're overworked. While everybody else is content to suck on the bottle. Let's grow up, okay? We'll encourage you, we'll help you, we'll help provide a process, but you've got to make the determination. Amen? If you're saying, hey, I want to grow up. I'm determined to be a disciple and I want to grow up. Would you just lift your hand up to God and then I'm going to pray over you. Father, you see all the hands in the building, wherever they are. Lord, you see these hands and I pray in the name of Jesus that by the grace of God, Lord, that you will help every one of us with our hands raised. Father, we commit ourselves to be disciples. We're going to grow up. We're committed to you. We're committed to the Word of God. We're going to feed on the Word. We're going to pray. Lord, we're going to be in fellowship with other believers. We're going to avail ourselves of the process of discipleship so that we can grow up into Christ Jesus and really be Christians like Christ. Thank you, Lord. You bow your heads just for a moment. You can put your hands down. Anyone here?